When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Experience the difference at Woodhouse Buick GMC. From the GMC Acadia to the Buick Encore, we're sure to have a vehicle that fits your lifestyle. Our climate-controlled showroom guarantees a comfortable shopping experience every time you visit. Plus, our commitment to our customers continues well beyond the date of purchase. You will leave our lot feeling comfortable and confident in your new vehicle. Start your car buying journey today, in-store or online at WoodhouseBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade.
This is how it's always been. I'm on the outside looking in.
Hello and welcome to Double Love, the podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. I'm Anna Carey.
I'm Karen Moynihan.
And this week we have reached a milestone. It's book number 10.
Oh my God.
It's Wrong Kind of Girl.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this one. But first of all, Karen, please use your designer's eye to describe this cover.
Okay, well, once again, Jessica Wakefield, up to no good.
Standing behind someone.
Standing behind poor beleaguered Annie Whitman.
Aww.
Who I think looks a lot like a young Courtney Cox.
Oh my God.
Doesn't she?
She
like
really does.
Dancing in the Dark era, kind of.
Yeah, didn't you and Courtney do a bit of modelling in those days?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe she did a bit of Sweet Valley modelling.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of looks like it.
It does.
But yeah, Annie just looks really sad.
Yeah, well, it's got good reason.
I mean, yeah, as we will soon find out. Yeah. Jessica's there in her, she's wearing her cheering uniform, I think, because it's like the...
Yes.
It's the red and white SV.
Yes, and she's wearing... The Lavalier. Seems very impractical for doing something strenuously athletic.
Hitting her in the face, surely, when she's jumping up and down. And
yeah, poke her eye out.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, she's not known for her practical approach.
Very true.
So, yeah, she's got a sort of horrible smirking grin.
Very devious look on her face.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm being nice to you, but... I'm not nice.
But not really.
Yeah. Just an understatement of the century.
Which is weird because she's never really nice to Annie. It's not like she's nice to her and then mean about her behind her back.
It's not like Robin.
She's just straight up mean to her.
Like, yeah, she is grotesque throughout this book. Yeah. And just on a serious note, just a little heads up that this is a book that features I'm sorry for the spoiler, but it is important to warn people that it does feature suicide attempt.
Yeah.
And if that's something that you do not want to hear talked about in a usually silly podcast about Sweet Valley High books, we will understand if you want to skip this out.
And,
believe me, the book we discuss next will be worth the wait.
Oh my God, it's going to be so good.
So, in the meantime, we've got Annie looking sad. And actually, the thing is, she's not sad for most of the book because she's in a state of blissful ignorance.
Yeah, she's kind of oblivious to Jessica's machinations for most of it. So she's kind of...
Yeah, she's pretty cheerful for most of it. Very cheerful.
Yeah.
So this is actually a very inaccurate cover.
It really is. Does not reflect what happens at all.
On many levels.
Yeah. But still, you know, a lovely cover because... You can't fault that painter. I just love everything.
That's true.
Does.
No, I
they're all
agree.
Great in their own way.
So, can you read the opening tagline, which is kind of amazing?
Watch it, Annie Whitman. Jessica's out to get you.
Oh, well, she is.
She sure is.
And actually, I mean, I'm going to discuss this further, that I was less offended by this book than I remembered being. And I think that this line sums out why is that it's clearly Jessica is the baddie.
Yes.
Very explicitly, even more so than in Power Play.
Yeah.
That Jessica, though, I mean, really, there's a lot of problems in this book, so I'm not.
Don't get us wrong.
Yeah.
There will be plenty to give out about.
But the back tagline is, Jessica's at it again.
I love that.
Which, she, you know, if by at it again, you mean being...
Ruining lives for no good reason.
Being a Heather's level... Yeah. Bitch face.
Actual psychopath.
So can you read the actual blurb for us?
Sure. Okay. Jessica Wakefield has sworn never to allow Annie Whitman onto the Sweet Valley High cheering squad. Annie may have the beauty, talent and spirit to be a cheerleader, but she also has the worst reputation in school. She goes out with a different boy every night.
Like Jessica.
Yeah. And all the other kids call her Easy Annie behind her back.
Bunch of bricks.
Jessica's pulling every devilish trick to keep Annie from ruining the cheerleader's image. Only Elizabeth, Jessica's twin, thanks guys, knows what Annie's really like. But can she change her sister's mind before Jessica shatters Annie's dreams?
Again, not no. wanting to spoil it.
No, she cannot.
Because Jessica is evil.
Oh, and it's, oh, the hypocrisy is just going to wreck your head for this. Just yeah, heads up, everybody.
Like, literally in the space of a single page, yeah. Jessica will do something or behave in a way that she has been, frankly, don't like to use this word, but hysterically accusing. Like, there are literal moments in the book where Jessica's screaming and wailing about how appalling Annie is. Yeah. It's like, why do you care this much? Yeah.
Seriously,
you get a grip. Person. So the book begins with Jessica in full evil villain mode.
Oh, straight away, like, yeah, there is no hanging around.
She's literally purring like a satisfied cat.
You know she's up to no good.
Oh, she certainly is. And she's like gloating
over
the cheerleader applications because so many people want to join the cheering squad. And then there's literally an entire page about how gorgeous all the cheerleaders are.
Each one gets their own little kind of description as well, don't they?
It's like Robin Wilson, the current Miss Sweet Valley High, because that's the most important thing
about
her.
Remember that shit show?
How could we forget? Helen Bradley, you just popped up out of God knows where.
A stunning redhead. Like, who?
Where'd she go?
She doesn't even go here.
Yeah. And I'm very wary of saying this.
I know.
But I have no memory of her.
None.
She doesn't even get a book, like, where they're on book number 92, when they're like really pulling characters
the wilds of the 90-80 kind of ones.
Where they're really stretching it, trying to find characters
they're
to write
really
books
pushing
about.
It, yeah.
And then Jean West is a pixie brunette.
Yes.
Mm. Maria Santelli, well, she doesn't get a beautiful description.
She doesn't actually, no.
Backflips.
But backflips that took everyone's breath away.
Oh, well, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then there's a description of Jessica, which it's actually, they sneak in that twin description there. Because they say she's 5'6" with a crown of glorious sun-streaked blonde hair and those sparkly blue eyes. Apparently, she's the envy of most of the girls at Sweet Valley High. Say so. And then it goes on about looks were only part of it and they all had to be brilliant at studying.
Yeah, they have to keep their grades up, don't they, to actually be on the squad.
Yes. And that then Elizabeth is usually dismissive of the cheerleading world.
Yes.
But she hasn't given in to Jessica's pleas to join in. And then the narrator, I'm starting to imagine the narrator being like the narrator in Jane the Virgin. No.
Everything's better with that narrator.
I know. But the narrator says that Jessica has told Elizabeth that the two of them would be sensational if Elizabeth joined the squad at least 137 times.
Uh-huh.
That is Jessica's thing.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's the narrator's
thing. She told Elizabeth at least 137 times. So it's actually...
I don't know what's going on there.
The narrator is being influenced by Jessica.
But Jessica can't choose anyway. Who is going to be in the squad? Because everybody wants to join.
That's right, yes.
And Liz is kind of slacking off, which is actually quite funny. She says, like, Jessica's all, oh, why do I have to do everything myself? And Elizabeth is like, what? Because if anyone else tried to do it, you'd be after it with a flamethrower, which is quite a good line.
She is not wrong.
For Elizabeth. And Jessica has promised one place to Cara, who's one of her best friends.
Yes. Yeah, because apparently Cara and Lila were both previously on the squad. And then were kicked off because they'd sabotaged the Palisades cheering display by turning on the school sprinkler system in the middle of their performance.
Yeah, why did we never hear about this before?
That sounds great.
Yeah, they could have got a whole book out
Cara
of that
and
shit.
Lila up to no good. Like, I love it.
We're 10 books in.
Yeah.
People. Like, they had time to put in a bit about Cara and Lila.
Throw it in as a little fun B-plot, like.
Yeah.
I'd be all in for that.
Oh, good Lord. So, anyway, this is Cara's now going to get back at the team. And that seems to be fair enough that she's been in before.
She was there before, yeah. Yeah, but I suppose Jessica's also kind of breaking the rules a little bit. She's basically promised the spot. There's like two spots open. So basically one of them is Cara's, but like unofficially.
So basically there's really only one.
Yeah.
And then Jessica sees that Annie has put her name down and she's just, she's enraged.
She's so outraged. And it's like, fucking chill out, will you?
Like, she literally goes on for two pages.
She actually does. Like, it goes on and on.
Solid pages about how basically Annie is a slapper.
Yeah. Like, she's been with every guy at school.
So have you.
Mm, that sounds familiar. Yeah. Yes.
And it's so awful and just slut shamey.
Oh, dear.
And she knows, by the way, she gives out to Elizabeth because Elizabeth helped Annie study. Because she has to keep her grades up.
Yes.
And
Jess doesn't know that she's been helping her, though. I don't think.
This is the thing that she acts like she doesn't. Yeah. But here, Liz literally says, "You know, I helped Annie with her math, so she could get her grades up."
Oh, actually, yeah, because she actually gets a massive betrayal later on in the book. And
there's no, because I think Jessica's having some sort of episode in this book. She is unhinged.
Yeah.
And yeah, Elizabeth is defending her, and Jessica says, which is actually like completely bizarre, that she won't have the whole squad tainted by Easy Annie.
So rude.
And Liz is literally like, "What is wrong with you?" Yeah, and says, "How bad can a 15-year-old sophomore girl be?"
Yeah, because also, yeah, keep in mind, Annie is literally 15.
She is a child. And Liz is like, "Come on, it doesn't matter what people say. She's a kid." Yeah. Like, you know, she's not a serial killer.
Yeah, and actually Liz also points out that a lot of the rumours are probably just a lot of talk. You know how guys like to brag, which like we also learned with Bruce Patman a couple of books ago when he was going on about how he was going to like conquer Liz and all this.
Yeah,
all
tell bullshit, everybody. Like, yeah. Exactly. So, but anyway, Jess has no time for this and says, like, "Why would you accept? She's just played bad." Steady on. It's like the Handmaid's Tale. Like, stoning her to death at a football.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Next.
One of Jessica's kind of reasons for Annie being so terrible as well is that she was out with Rick Andover.
Oh, who else could have gone out with Rick Andover? Who else was picked up by him at the side of the road? Like, you know. Pot and kettle.
She sucks.
It's a good thing we're not playing a drinking game about Jessica being a massive hypocrite.
I'd actually be in bits.
We'd be pissed by now.
Yep.
Because it's just solid. So, yeah, this is the next day in school, everybody, because the people of Sweet Valley are enormous judgmental arseholes, as we know. So they're all like, "Easy Eddie did it again." Mm-hmm. And Liz doesn't like this.
Yeah.
So Liz is kind of
a voice of reason, like, what are you talking about? Like, come leave her alone, seriously.
Like, she's not a serial killer.
Yeah.
But she is disappointed that Annie went out with Rick Andover because Annie needed to study for a test.
Yes.
And she needed to do well in the test, to do well in the cheerleading squad. And she went out with Rick instead because he was so cool. But then she says, which is really sad, she's like, "Oh, you know, sometimes I think it's not even worth trying, Liz. Sometimes I feel so worthless."
I know, it's really sad.
It's genuinely sad.
But then Elizabeth's reaction sucks because she's
"Oh my God, so
what?"
terrible.
Elizabeth said, truly surprised. "You? Why, Annie, you're just about the most beautiful girl in Sweet Valley High."
Yeah, that's a really
beauty equals self-worth.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's a healthy response. And she does regret saying it, but it's like the fact that that is the first thing that comes into your head, Liz, shows how you been infected by the attitudes of your terrible, terrible town.
Do better.
Exactly. So she does regret it, but saying that to Annie, and she genuinely wants to help Annie achieve her dream. So she goes around to her house to help her study, except it's not a house.
It's an apartment.
What? It's not a ranch house.
Where's the split level stairs?
Yeah. She lives in an apartment, so you know something's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And Liz is like, Annie's sort of confiding in her, and Liz is a bit, this is fair enough. Like, Liz is like, "Oh, I barely know her. She's telling me all her, like, all this personal stuff."
Yeah,
but,
her
you know,
life story.
She clearly needs to
talk to someone. Yeah, she's quite lonely. And I think she as much as says that really at some point.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have friends. And it's like, "Oh, Annie."
I know, it's really sad. And then she talks about her family background.
Oh, yeah.
And like, her parents had her when they were really young, like in their teens.
Yeah,
so her mother's only about like 30.
Yeah, she's really young.
And then her father was abusive.
Her dad, like, threw her down the stairs when she was 10.
Yeah. Oh. And then she modeled when she was 13. It was clearly like modeling sort of like a grown up. Imagine sort of a Brooke Shields thing, like very creepy and
it's
wrong.
Kind of grim, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and she was like treated like an adult. So it's all, like she's an abused child,
pretty
basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
And Liz is really upset, but of course takes a moment to think, but my family is so amazing. And, oh, it made Elizabeth so proud when people said that she and Jessica looked like their mother. It's like, oh, it's not
focus,
about,
Liz, focus.
Yeah, it's not about you. It's not about you now. Yeah. So she sort of, she reveals that she thinks she'll get respect if she gets good grades and stays on the squad.
Yeah. Yeah, like she's really hanging everything on getting onto the cheer squad.
Yeah,
like
and also the school thing. Like that's important to her as well. She sort of sees this as a chance, like she just wants people to like her. And it's genuinely really sad.
It is.
And Liz is touched and she realises that Annie is not only just really lonely, but has absolutely no idea how people talk about her.
Yeah.
She's kind of innocent. And then her mother arrives home and she's got a sleazy boyfriend.
Oh, he's horrible. Yeah,
yeah. And he's like, hi, girls.
Oh, yeah, he's all creepy at Liz. And he's like, oh, God, get away.
So Elizabeth is like, okay, I really have to, you know. And she's actually kind of funny and sweet to Annie.
Yeah.
Because Annie's been going like, oh, a genius like you. And when Liz leaves, she's like, I know you can do it and a genius like me wouldn't make a mistake. Like, she's got a...
It's cute.
She's got the right approach.
Yeah, yeah.
But meanwhile... At Bitchfest 1985. Jessica was in her element.
Of
course. The next chapter begins.
Oh, yeah.
And she's kind of just drilling Kara in like, this is how you're going to get back at the squad.
Yeah.
Because it's not just up to Jessica. They all have to vote on it.
That's right. It's a cheerocracy.
It really is. It is a cheerocracy. Oh, man.
There's going to be a lot of Bring It On references.
Yeah, they should have made that. That film would have been a lot more disturbing if it had been made about the Sweet Valley High squad. So they're talking about who else deserves to be on the squad. And they laugh about Sandy Bacon. Whatever your feelings about her name.
The worst. I hate it.
I know. But anyway, apparently she like wants to be on the team, but she's clumsy. And they all remember some time where she like fell into a pool or something. And they literally laugh until they cry.
At the thought of...
Oh, remember that time she really hurt herself on the pool? So, yeah, Carol doubled over, holding her stomach in helpless laughter. Tears pouring from her eyes at the memory. Like, that's what makes you laugh, you psychopath. But then Stephen turns up and we realise Kara fancy Stephen.
Yeah, she is into him. But he kind of just like wanders out.
Yeah, well, he's upset because he's just found out that Trisha, his girlfriend, her deadbeat dad. I'm getting all the poor people in Sweet Valley this week. All like two of them. Well, actually, Annie.
Two of them. It's just Annie and Trisha.
And actually, Annie isn't even that poor because her apartment is quite fancy.
It does sound quite nice.
It's all very like glamorous and tasteful. So
yeah.
So she's just obviously not as rich as the Wakefields.
Of course, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Trisha's dad has hit someone with his car in a drunk driving incident. So poor old Trisha. Her life's very difficult.
Yeah, it's all very difficult. But yeah, so Stephen just kind of wanders out, kind of tells him that and just kind of wanders back in again or something. He's just a bit weird kind of out of sorts.
He's having a hard time, I suppose. So now we cut to the tryouts.
Yes.
And
there are 75 hopefuls.
Yeah. That is.
Busy day.
Oh, I was going to ask why. Where do they get the time to do
when
this?
Do they have class?
I know, of course. They've probably been given an entire day off just to do their cheerleading quiet.
It's such a relaxed curriculum in that school.
It really is. Well, I'm going to find out that some of the classes they have, it's just like later on. They really do not follow any curriculum that we would recognise. So, everybody's there. The whole school are there basically looking at the competitors. And Todd and Elizabeth and Enid are there. And Enid and Todd are just like, God.
Why are we here? Yeah.
And Liz is like, well, you've got to be here for no real reason. I don't know. She's actually there for work. Like,
she's there, to write. So it's like, why are you dragging
as a journalist, I wouldn't force my friends to come with me. But anyway, we meet Ricky Cabaldo.
Hey.
And Ricky is nice.
He is. He's sound.
And even Jessica likes him. Even though he is not handsome. He is the cheerleaders' manager. And
what a seal of approval. Yeah.
She'll deign to be...
She'll actually be nice to him even though he's not hot.
So he is their manager and he's friends with all of them. But he's not the most glamorous guy.
No.
But he's nice.
He's the same
And he's clearly not a sort of a nice guy figure. Like he's just...
No, yeah. He's
genuinely their
he's
friend.
He's got no ulterior motives or anything like that. He's just
genuinely
friends with everyone. Yeah,
yes.
He's cool.
So the gladiators give their trademark, or each girl comes in to give their trademark cheer for the gladiators, which is, of course, the Sweet Valley football team.
Yes.
And we find out that the final flourish of the basic gladiator cheer is, "We who are about to win salute you. Go gladiators!" It's not very snappy. Like, no. Obviously I know where it comes from. But
surely
like,
it's meant to rhyme or something, isn't it?
Well, I would think a cheer would, as opposed to saying what gladiators said before they died, because obviously the real line the Roman gladiator said was, "We who are about to die salute you."
Oh, God.
Anyway, somebody who whatever, like 25-year-olds wrote this book, yeah, obviously like majored in classics.
They were
or
doing
something.
Some classics, yeah, course, yes, in college while moonlighting.
And they were just, "I'm getting that in here. Yeah. I know about gladiators." So Annie is amazing.
Yes.
So Cara's good, and you know, everybody's the named characters are all,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
But Annie is so good that applause explodes in,
yeah,
the gym.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Ricky calls her Miss Flashdance.
Amazing.
Well, quite a compliment.
Miss Flashdance. Great.
And we see that Annie is hanging out with Tim Bradley. Also, where did the entire Bradley family come from?
Who are these people? Yeah, he's Helen's hot brother.
Yeah.
That Jessica had her eye on.
And she is not pleased, mm-mm, to see him hanging out with Annie.
No.
And in fact, she warns Helen, just sort of like, look what Annie's up to.
Yeah.
Sleezing
don't you care if your brother runs around with a school tramp? Jessica snapped. Like, that could easily apply to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, anything that she
up.
Says about Annie could apply to you. She is, yeah, such a horrible monster.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Maybe the reason that she is so, like, obsessed with Annie,
yeah,
is because she recognizes
she
Annie's
sees
leg.
Herself in her.
Yes. Or maybe she's just stone cold evil.
Yeah, that's also possible.
It's hard to know with Jessica. Consistency so reveals, you know, her consistent behavior reveals that she is pretty evil.
Yeah.
So Liz is worried about Jess, and Edith is like, "Look, your sister's probably up to something. So, you know, what's she up to now?" And Enid, it's revealed, still hates Jessica.
Yeah.
As well, she
with
might.
Perfectly good reason.
Yes. Like, yeah. Another good thing about this book is that Todd and Enid still absolutely fucking hate Jessica.
And they're so right in doing so.
Yes. So I am 100% on board with both, yeah, of them. So the list goes up of the cheerleaders. And Annie's on it.
Yay.
And she's so happy. But then we find out she's going on another date to celebrate.
Yes.
With not one.
Oh, yeah.
But two boys.
Oh dear.
Just seems very tiring. Like, how are you going? Because they're not together.
Yeah.
That would be like, oh, yeah, if you weren't 15, that would be, you know.
Oh God.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, she is 15.
She is 15. So Billy and Rick. Billy's taking me to the Dairy Burger. And then later on, Rick Andover is taking me to the beach for a late swim.
And she wants, because we know what Rick Andover's like, but she wants Elizabeth to write about this in the Oracle.
Yeah, she's like, don't tell anyone where you got this. Like, don't put it in there.
I know. And this is like, Liz really realizes, oh my God, no, she has
no
idea of how,
yeah,
people talk about her, which is really sad.
Yeah.
And so Liz doesn't write about this double date night.
Yeah.
But she does say that Annie is a favourite to get in the squad.
Yes.
And who gets angry at this?
Oh, sure.
Who do you think?
Who else?
And then Annie, she gets an A in a maths test.
Yay.
And she's really happy.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And then Liz is found in her house helping her, and Annie goes to help her old neighbour, Mrs. Jorgensen.
Yes.
And she's just a very sweet person.
She is. She's lovely.
And especially as she's had a very difficult life.
Yeah.
And, you know, she seems, you know, she's kind and she wants, you know, to...
She's helpful and she's sweet. Like, she's really lovely.
And what... Why are the people of Sweet Valley so mean to her? Oh, I know, because they judge everybody who doesn't conform to a Jessica Wakefield standard. So while she's off, Annie's off helping Mrs. Jorgensen, her mother, Mrs. Whitman, arrives home.
Yeah.
She's very glamorous.
Yeah.
She flashes a brilliant smile, but the smell of liquor.
Uh-oh.
Mixed with the scent of her perfume.
Oh, dear.
She's concerned about Annie. Because Annie, she kind of is aware that Annie doesn't have any friends.
Yeah.
And this is really, this is sad.
It is.
Like, she's clearly not a terrible person.
No.
She's just a kind of a flake.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she's not actually like devious or evil or anything. She's just...
Yeah, and she probably shouldn't have let her 13-year-old daughter be a model. Like a grown-up model.
Yeah.
Unsupervised. But anyway, Elizabeth is like, you know, trying to say, well, yeah, she's Annie does have, like, she's popular.
Yeah, she kind of words
it
carefully.
She's in an awkward position.
Yeah.
And... yeah, she's Mrs. Whitman is like, oh, I worry about my baby. You see, my schedule keeps me so busy. I don't have much time for Annie. My mother's busy too, Elizabeth wanted to say, but she always has time for Jessica and me. Bear in mind, she's a single parent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, with a job.
Yeah.
She doesn't have time to be sitting around a Spanish style kitchen all day.
Making fucking lemonade or whatever.
Pancakes. 10 million pancakes. So, it is a very awkward situation.
It is, yeah.
And, then it turns out that Elizabeth's study help has paid off.
Yeah.
Because Annie has done really well.
Yay.
And Liz is pleased for her.
She is.
Liz is hoping, like, oh God, if, you know, she really knows how Annie has her heart set on being a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, it's just going to crush her.
Yeah, there's kind of an ominous bit where Annie's like, oh, Liz, don't even say that. Nothing else will count if I don't make the squad. And it's like, oh, stop, you know, relying on this so much to make yourself happy.
I know. Yeah. And Elizabeth decides she'll distract herself by going to, it's finally mentioned, the beach disco! Who cares about the caravan?
Whatever. Beach disco is where it's at.
And she's going to, Elizabeth can't wait to let loose with Todd on the dance floor. Can only imagine.
Oh, fantastic.
So, they're going to see a band called The Surfer's Waves are performing. And Jess is there. And Jessica, like, bear in mind that Jessica, how judgmental Jessica is of anything that Annie wears. Jessica's wearing a black and red striped top and her shortest skirt.
Yep.
Like, how does she judge? Like, fine, Jess, you know, nothing wrong with wearing a short skirt, but you go around judging everything Annie wears all the time.
Yeah.
Why? So she's with Skip. Where does he come from?
Skip Herman. Okay.
So he's a senior.
Yeah.
And she brags that while she's dancing, while she dances with him, that she's going to get him to take her on a date.
Yeah.
Pot kettle black.
Yeah, pretty much.
Again, like, I'm just... But then Annie arrives. And who's she with?
It's only Bruce Patman.
Yes, it is. And Jessica is horrified at this sight. Because Bruce is her nemesis. And now Annie is dancing around with him. And she literally is dancing around with him because... there's a dance contest.
Oh, it's so funny actually, because it's completely random as well. It's like the Beach Disco's manager, a heavyset man named Mel, jumped up on the bandstand and announced a dance contest. Like, what and where? Just out of nowhere, we're all dancing. Oh, by the way, guys, dance contest time. Yeah,
actually, I would like that. I wish that would happen in the event that I went to. By the way, before we discuss the dance contest, which is quite something, we're given a description of Todd's outfit. He's wearing grey cords and a burgundy shirt.
That's right, yeah.
Actually, that sounds like something my husband might wear. He's very fond of needle cords. That's most of his trousers.
Oh.
Are needle cords. I imagine Todd's wearing sort of baggy 80s jumbo cords.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Sort of like pegged chino shape.
Oh, Christ.
You can imagine it, can't you?
I really can, yeah. I can feel the cords.
Yeah, that velvety, chunky cords. The dance contest starts. Todd in his cords plunges into the rhythm, we're told. But soon, Skip Harmon is the best dancer.
Yeah.
Where's he been all our lives?
Oh, yeah. What the hell?
But the most flashy couple are Bruce and Annie. And
It's basically down to Jessica and Skip and Bruce and Annie.
Yes, and Bruce, we're told, was pretty flashy and had a lot of style.
He sure does. He was basically Johnny Castle a couple of books ago, wasn't he? Throwing Jessica around the place.
I know, yeah. So Jessica should not be surprised.
Yeah.
That this is...
Yeah, like none of this is surprising Jessica.
In any way, shape or form. She's going out with somebody who you went out with that we're obsessed with.
Yeah.
In fact, allowed to, you know, treat you as if he were, as if I recall correctly, an evil puppet master.
Yes, indeed.
So anyway, at the end, Mel can't choose.
Yeah, it's a draw.
Yeah. And poor Annie. Annie's like, oh, Jessica sees that I'm good enough at dancing.
Yeah. But oh, she's thrilled.
Jessica's just like, I'm going to just finish you.
Seething away.
So my my notes just have, Jessica's literally insane and is actually howling.
Oh my god.
This is true. Jessica is raging. And then goes, the nerve, the absolute nerve of her standing there trying to pretend she's as good as I am. Oh. Jessica howled.
Fucking
as good as you or any of us. And then Liz is like, well, isn't she? No. Double no. Triple no. A thousand times no. Oh my god, I'm actually crying. You want to say easy Annie is acceptable? No, 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 no.
Alrighty, and Paisley fucking calm down.
Sweet Molly says no. Oh my god, what has happened to her?
That has actually broken Anna, just by the way, everybody.
Oh, I literally am crying. What has, what is wrong with her?
Like, so, she lost her mind.
Oh my god, they're in the car. While this is happening, I hope she wasn't driving.
She's not driving. Yeah.
Good lord. So, Jessica has short-term memory loss as a result of this incident, because she can't understand why Annie is doing well at school. How did she get so smart lately? She used to be so stupid. You literally gave out to your sister like 50 pages ago
for helping her out. Oh god.
So that isn't enough for Jess, obviously. Mm. And but then she finds out that Liz was helping Annie, which she already knew. So
yeah, actually, that's so funny. I didn't cop that when I was reading it, but now that you say it, they just talked about it at the start.
It makes no sense. So she calls Liz Benedict Arnold Wakefield again.
Second
time
that.
In the series.
Jessica Byrne.
And then who makes his first entry?
Oh, it's Mr. Collins.
And we find out he's only in his late 20s.
Oh.
I don't know why I thought he was a bit older.
Yeah.
I sort of visualised him. Maybe because I think young Robert Redford. I still think
he's
about
still
like
kind of
30.
Slightly older Robert Redford.
Yeah. Or at least about 35.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, they talk about how everything about him. His tall, slim build, his swarthy blonde hair, the well-cut sports jackets he wore,
ooh,
seemed perfect. Then they say what really made him special was the way he looked at things. Maybe it was because of his age, but he could always be counted on to see the kids' side of things. So, again, he actually gives Liz some quite good advice.
He does. And it's actually pretty funny because Liz is a bit indecisive about whether she should talk about it at all, because she's like, she could really use Mr. Collins' advice. But if she told him what was going on with Annie and Jessica, it would put her sister in an awful light.
Yeah, because...
like, no shit, yeah. Because she sucks and she's awful.
I know! This is the thing, like, she deserves to be in an awful light. Everyone else can see
she
this.
She put herself in that awful light by being a bitch.
Exactly. So, he's... he also reveals that they're offering a class called Decisions.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was a joke or not.
I assume just given their free and easy approach to education.
Who even knows?
It seems like a fairly sensible thing to, you know, practical thing to have a class, maybe talking about decisions and ethics, but like considering how much time they spend planning dances and stuff, they could probably do with a maths class. Like,
you know, just sprinkle them in there every so
first
often.
First things first. So he does give good advice to Liz.
He does.
And tells her, you know, you've just got to be there for both these friends.
Yeah.
And you can't really change anything.
Yeah.
But then, of course, while he's leaving, he tousled her hair playfully. Hands to yourself, Roger.
Like, oh, yeah, actually, I wrote down, he tousles her hair. Stop that.
Boundaries? What boundaries?
Yeah. No, no.
So yeah, there's another round in this never ending tournament.
Oh god, it's like Glee's nationals and regionals and fucking one thing after another.
One school comes on forever. So Annie is amazing, and then Ricky passes her a note in Spanish class to say that she got through.
Yeah,
and she's really happy. And it's cute.
It is,
and she's so happy that she screams, "Ricky!" like Bianca from EastEnders. That was not a very good Bianca from EastEnders impersonation. But anyway, that's, she screams and everybody finds this hilarious. So
yeah,
she's really optimistic. And Liz is worried because she knows Jessica will not give up easily. And she reveals to Enid what has been bothering her. And Enid's like, well, I know what judgmental pricks people in this school can be. And, you know, she's like, well, you know, if Annie wants to change her own life, then yeah, she could do it.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, though, Jessica is sort of manipulating Helen Bradley.
Yeah.
She's very easily manipulated, might I
say. She kind of is, yeah.
She just tells her, like, if she gets on the cheering squad, Annie gets on the cheering squad, everybody will think we're just like her. Oh, no! Says Anna. So, it's basically, listen to this. This is what Jessica says when trying to badmouth Annie. You've seen her strutting around, haven't you, Jessica demanded. Out with Bruce Patman one night, with that Rick Andover the next. It's one guy after another.
That is literally you. That is you.
Literally. Oh my God. So Jessica is this sort of, does this master manipulator, except in fairness, it seems like, you know, a wooden spoon could manipulate Helen. She is
Helen is not the brightest.
She's not the most sophisticated thinker. So Jess is like, you know, even if Annie is better, we could vote in Sandy instead. And Jessica's like, yes, it's all down to you, Helen Bradley.
Yeah, she's kind of stoking her ego a little bit because this is going to be the deciding vote because Jean West is going to vote for Sandy because she's her best friend.
Yeah. And so Robin kind of and Maria will vote for who's best, which is Annie.
Yeah.
So
you know, like you're supposed to do.
They have integrity, which is unfamiliar to Jessica, obviously. Helen, no wonder she never gets seen again. She is just too boring. She's like, okay, I'll vote for Cara and Sandra. And it works. And meanwhile, Annie is really happy and cheerful.
Yeah, she's kind of found a bit of self-esteem and she's feeling good about herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
And she fancies Ricky.
She does.
It's the first time she's sort of been friends with a boy.
Yeah, that's probably what it is actually, instead of just like going on dates and stuff. But like,
And
the fact that he's quite sweet and shy, she's not used to that as well because it's been basically just going out with douchebags like up until this point.
Basically.
Yeah.
And he's nice to her. And he's not like we've said, he's not a sort of a, you know, nice guy in inverted commas.
Yeah.
Like, he genuinely is nice.
Yeah, he actually is just saying.
He cares about her.
Yeah.
And he's friends with all the girls. So she's in a good place. But her being in a good place makes Liz nervous because she knows that, like,
it's going to go down.
Yeah, because Jess does not let these things happen easily. And Todd and Liz almost fall out because Todd, yet again, says your sister is a fucking bitch. Not quite. She's never that explicit, but it is like, she's terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, she's a bully.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, but pretty much.
He can't, you know, he knows that Liz can't really hear that, but it's kind of hard to avoid. I know you don't want to hear your sister badmouth, but when you're helping somebody who's literally being bullied by your sister.
By her. Like, this isn't a shock, you know?
Yeah.
But they do have really funny bit because he knows something's on Elizabeth's mind and she kind of won't tell him what it is. And he just kind of immediately assumes there's someone else.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Where did that come from?
What are you talking about?
Who?
But like, they're sitting watching telly in the living room in Todd's house. And he kind of gets up and says this and he's his back to her. It's like, this is Elizabeth. She looked at Todd's back. He wouldn't face her. Elizabeth rose slowly from the sofa, walked over to Todd, put her hand on his arm. Todd, please look at me. Like, and he eventually turns around and it's like, why is it so melodramatic? Like, lads, will you please calm down?
God, you'd think they've got enough drama in their lives.
Yeah, they're just manufacturing it for no reason.
Really no need to do that.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Ricky is trying to study, but he's basically writing Hamilton, the famous musical, because something strange was happening to Ricky Capaldo when he studied the Revolutionary War and its causes. music drifted into his mind.
My God.
And that's a Fife and Drum march leading Washington's troops towards Valley Forge. No, Mickey stopped to study. We're being sidetracked by love songs.
Oh my God.
The world turns upside down. Not a love song, but it is. So yeah, he's writing Hamilton in his head.
Pretty much.
While he's in love with Addie.
That's quite a cute bit actually, because he's so distracted while thinking about her and trying to study. He writes down the three major causes of the Revolutionary War, he noted in his book, were denial of basic rights, the Stamp Act, and Annie Whitman.
Aww.
I love that, because that does happen when you're like talking about something and writing at the same time, and you end up just putting some random word into
whatever. We've all done it.
I love
so,
that.
Yeah, he's an endearing chap.
It's cute, yeah.
So the tryouts arrive.
It's yes.
Finals.
Mm.
Like, how many rounds have they had now?
Oh, this is like the third or fourth one or something.
My God,
so excessive.
It feels like it's been going on for about a year. they compete. Addie's amazing. And that Sandy falls.
She fucks it up and lands on her arse. Yeah.
Yep, she does. And when the cheerleaders come to cast their votes, Robin is like, well, obviously it has to be Annie,
yeah.
There's no doubt. She literally says there's no doubt. Yeah. Cara and Annie are the best ones.
Yeah, they unanimously vote in Cara, I think. But then when they move on to Annie, it all gets a bit dramatic.
And Jessica starts saying things like, we're not just cheerleaders, we're examples. And Robin, now,
some fucking example.
I know. Yeah, Jesus, if you're the example, like,
oh God,
stay away.
Good luck, you guys.
And this is this is one of the things that the book is. That's very problematic, obviously. But, Robin says something like, those stories may just be rumors.
Mm.
And the thing is, even if they weren't rumors,
there's
no need to demonize this poor kid.
Yeah, she's 15.
Yes, she's 15.
Yeah.
And I think what's kind of almost like the strangely positive side is that Elizabeth is kind of like, look, come on.
You know,
it's kind of more, it doesn't really matter. She's trying to change her life. And, if this was about somebody older, obviously it would be a huge problem if they presented somebody who was just going out and enjoying themselves as being inherently damaged. But bear in mind, we're talking about a 15-year-old who has clearly come from a very troubled background.
Yeah, pretty tough.
There was no friends. Like, it is not a good thing for a 15-year-old to be abandoning school to, just go out and dates with random boys constantly. Like, she's not coming at it from a good place, and she's not coming at it from a sort of empowered place.
Yeah.
And lest we forget, she's 15. I don't think there is even an option for in this plot for a depiction of any situation that was like somebody who's in control of their lives.
Yeah.
Because she's young.
She's
just
young,
too young.
And
she's a kid.
And she's had a really shy time of things up until this point as well. So
So, the big problem is that some of the other Sweet Valiants are like, well, maybe it's not true. It's like, well, even if it is
maybe
true,
it
like, let her on the friggin' cheerleading team.
Seriously, Jessica's right there. Come on.
And she's a giant bitch. Unlike Annie. So, Annie, Maria and Robin are both pro Addie.
Yes.
And Helen, the easily persuadable, is pro Sandy. And Ricky stands up for Addie.
He does.
Jessica is in a rage. And then Jessica finally says, because Helen is like, I can't. I can't.
Yeah, because like when Sandy fell in front of them, you kind of can't. Like,
and then Jessica loses it again.
Oh, yeah.
Her face is red and trembling. And she's like, well, we've all been tippy-toeing about the important thing here. If we take if we take Annie, everyone will think we're just like her. Everyone will think we're as bad as Easy Annie. Well, they don't think they're all as raving psychopath as you.
Yeah.
So, I don't think you need to worry about that. If they were all tarred with your brush,
true.
I don't think Robin would have joined the squad at all.
Yeah.
So, they're...
She basically threatens to quit if they let Annie on the team. So it's her or Annie, basically. And Helen's like, but Jess, wailed a distraught Helen Bradley. You're the heart and soul of the squad. Without you, it wouldn't be the Sweet Valley cheerleaders at all. Why? Because they'd be fucking nice, maybe.
And I am ashamed of Robin for going along with this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Robin,
actually,
just say,
Robin has been quite decent.
Yeah.
Throughout this. And Maria is quite obviously, yeah, up for Annie. Yeah, they're both. As well. And it's like,
they should just go.
They should have been like, all right, off you go.
No. Fucking. Well, actually, maybe they don't, I suppose. Maybe Helen then won't.
Yeah, maybe Helen.
Maybe it's just Helen. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, because she did need just three of the five, so.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we'll give Robin and Maria the benefit of the
doubt. They get away with it this time.
Yeah. Yes. So, before we see Annie again, the twins get some news that they're going to have a visitor.
Oh, that's right.
From New York City. Jessica is such a weirdo because they're told, Ned and Alice say, we're going to have a house guest. A house guest, Jessica cried. Anybody terrific, like a rock star? What? Why? What? Why? Why would it be a rock star?
Who are you talking about?
God almighty. Anyway, it's Suzanne Devlin. Irish name alert.
Ooh, yes.
Lisa, well, we won't say anything about her for the moment.
We'll save that for later.
Yes. But yeah, she is the daughter of Ned's old college roommate, Tom Devlin.
Yes.
Nice Irish name there. And he is a diplomat.
And he is, yeah.
They live in New York and Paris and London too.
So boy,
she's been all over, says Elizabeth. Because they're very impressed.
Yeah.
She's beautiful too, Ned Wakefield said.
That's such a weird thing to say.
Your
friend's daughter while talking to your daughters.
Yeah. Like. Why is that an issue? I suppose it's all very, very shallow. So anyway, she's coming for 2 weeks. But
it's basically a daughter swap, isn't it? Suzanne's coming to stay in Sweet Valley for 2 weeks, but then one of the twins is going to go to New York. Just the one.
Yeah, it's a strange
It's
scheme.
A weird setup. Yeah.
And they won't decide yet who is going to go.
Yeah.
And one of you will get to show Suzanne Devlin around Sweet Valley. The other will see in New York. That is not an even trade.
No, not at all. Like, who is she?
Yeah.
Why would I want to hang out
You get
with
to
her?
Host some random girl.
Yeah.
Or you or get to go to New York for the first time in your life. Like, that is all.
See ya. I'm on my way.
So that is not, that is not really an even deal.
No.
But
they seem to think it is for some reason.
Jess is like, oh, I'll fix Suzanne up with Stephen. Like, oh, yeah. God.
you Where don't know her? From.
Like, and even Elizabeth says, do you have a death wish, Jess? Stephen would take you apart if you butted into his relationship with Trisha. And she's like, no way, Trisha's cool. You're mad. Like, your mania for trying to split your brother up from his girlfriend is not a good thing.
Nah, let it go.
But anyway, she tries to get Jess to reveal who she chose for the squad. But Jessica won't.
No,
genuinely won't.
She won't.
This is like, okay. Thought you were going to crack.
She messes with her though and goes, it took a lot of thought, Jessica said with studied seriousness. Finally, I voted for Pat Benatar.
Love is a battlefield.
Oh, fantastic. Love it.
So the next day, there's a sad scene. It actually genuinely is.
Oh yeah, this is horrible.
Sad. Yeah. So do you want to tell us what happens?
So yeah, Annie's in Spanish class and Ricky's in the class with her. So I suppose they probably didn't find out until later on in the day who was going to make it. So
yeah.
Ricky writes a little note to Annie and slips it over to her, but it's basically telling her she hasn't made the cut. And Annie's like really excited and kind of saves it till after class and opens it all excited.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're not in, basically.
No.
Thanks for trying. Good luck next time.
And I know.
It's just like, oh, because she's been like, the excitement's building and building the whole morning. And then she's there in class, like, stopping herself from looking at the note.
And
she's
broken by it.
Yeah.
And she literally runs out. And Ricky's really nice to her. And, like, comes after her and he's like, you know, oh, I'll take you for the dairy burger for lunch. Like,
yeah.
And she's like, it is impossible not to get something you want as much of this. Annie said, her voice faltering, tears streaming down her cheeks.
It's really sad.
It's genuinely sad. And then...
Yeah, just like, I think, it's really shit because it's not like her being full of herself to think that she should have gotten in, because she should have. Like, she was quite clearly the best. Sandy literally fell on her face.
And she finds out it's Sandy.
Yeah.
She's just like, because I think she just thinks, well, you know, okay, fine. And then she finds out that Sandy fell and she can't understand why they chose her. And then
that's quite understandable.
Ricky, and he kind of, like, he doesn't mean to do it. It's kind of convincing. Like, she's really sort of says, look, you've got to tell me. I know there's something you're not telling me.
Yeah, she's just completely bewildered by the decision and how this could have happened.
And he basically says, you know, Jessica brought up the story some guys tell about you.
Yeah.
And that would ruin the whole squad, and that's just like the worst thing anyone said to her.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's a horrible thing to hear. And she just runs away.
And like Ricky wasn't saying it to be shitty. Like he was just trying to...
Like she was really wanted an answer.
Yeah, she wanted to know. And he didn't know that she had no idea that there was any talk about her at all.
And she really regrets it.
Yeah.
Or he really regrets it.
Yeah.
She doesn't turn up to school, and Liz is really worried about her. And it's just like, look, Jess, just let her in. You should have let her in the first place. And Jessica says something about how she wants to like keep the squad clean. Like something out of the it means even more to us to keep the squad clean. And Liz said, "Good heavens, Jess, she's only 15 years old."
Yeah, like come on.
She says, "Come on, Jess, show a little compassion." Jess's face grew contorted with anger. Lightning flashed from her blue-green eyes.
Fuck off.
At it again. Oh, Emerald fire before. Good Lord. So then Elizabeth gets a phone call from Ricky, and it's horrible news because he couldn't get through to Annie and he went into her house and there was no answer and he broke down the door and she'd taken an overdose.
Yeah.
So she's in hospital and Liz rushes into hospital to see her and she tells Jess what had happened. And the only satisfying part is that Jess feels terrible.
She does.
As well she might.
Yeah, for once she actually has the decency to feel really bad for what she did.
Though there's part of me that's thinking, does she just think she'll get into trouble?
Yeah, actually, that's true.
She is that sort of person.
That's,
And Ricky actually tells, like, when Annie's mother comes up, Ricky tells her mother, like, why she... You know, that something did happen to kind of send her into a dark spiral. And there's a bit where Ricky says, which is genuinely really sad, I guess it was just more than she could handle. She's only a kid, you know. Aww. How much can a kid take?
Yeah.
Bear in mind, he's only a kid too, so it's not like
anything. It's just like, she's 15.
I know.
It's horrible.
It's really sad. And Mrs. Whitman is just devastated. And she says, like, the kids treated her badly in school. And Jessica is like sitting there listening to this. And I'm like, good, Jessica. Yeah, you should have to listen to all this.
Because Ricky kind of snaps and he goes like, what kind of stuck up mean kids could do this to a poor scared girl? Jessica was crying now, tears running down her face. Ricky saw her and slumped back into his seat. Oh no, Jess, I didn't mean it. I don't know what I'm saying. It's like, I do mean it because this is her fault.
This is one time where she needs to hear that her actions
here
have consequences.
Some consequences. Fucking deal.
Yeah. So we find out that Annie should be awake, like they've clearly pumped her stomach or whatever.
Yeah.
But the doctor says she has no will to live.
Oh, these doctors, goddamn.
I know. Yeah, they adopt the typical Sweet Valley approach where anybody's in a coma, you just like talk to them.
Like, there's only so much we can do. This is really in your hands.
Yeah, so
like,
bye.
Okay, thanks.
So Liz is a lot nicer to Jessica than she deserves.
Oh, way nicer than she deserves, yeah.
Seeing as Jessica was literally like having doing an Ian Paisley like a couple of weeks ago. How terrible she was. No! Jessica is blaming herself, like, how could I be such a selfish, spoiled, impossible, vindictive? Go on.
More.
Yes. Hey, Elizabeth murmured, you're talking about my favourite sister. It's like, No,
let her off. She's right.
I'm just cold, stone cold when it comes to Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is so awful in this book.
Yeah.
So Jessica goes in and they basically say, you've got to tell her that she should be, you're going to let her on the cheerleading squad.
Yeah, the doctor basically prescribes letting her on the squad. It's like, oh,
that's cure for low self-esteem. Like, she needs a therapist. That's what she needs.
Yeah,
she's got a lot of problems.
There are issues here, people.
Yeah. So Jessica goes on about, you know, there was a mistake. You were really on the squad after all. But then finally what it says, this is the real Jessica coming out. Mm. If you don't make it, it'll be my fault. And I couldn't live with that. So you've got to come back or else it'll be two of us going. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
Make it all about you, Jessica. Yeah. That's brilliant.
It's
really
not your
brilliant moment,
okay?
Good Lord. But it works.
Oh, I'm so mad that it works.
I know.
It's like, I don't want Annie to die,
Jessica.
But I'm also just... I hate that her first words are, please, Jess.
Oh my God, it's sickening. Where are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I need you. Jessica's like her anchor. bring her back to life.
Like, I actually wrote down, fuck off for that bit because it's just so annoying.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's very typical the way Sweet Valley handles Jessica's terrible behaviour.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Whitman is like, oh, I've dumped Johnny and I'm going to pay you some attention. And, you know, I'm going to...
Yeah, it's kind of snapped her out of whatever distracted kind of situation she got herself into. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, I should have been there for you more.
Yeah.
And then actually there's a kind of cool thing where Annie says, well, I mean, she recovers very quickly from just having been in a coma. But anyway, she says, I want you to know that I think I can make it now without the cheerleading. Elizabeth told me not to put too much importance on it. You were right, Liz. Somebody actually having a sensible reaction.
That's so mature. Like,
yeah. But she's on the team anyway. And they brought her present.
Oh yeah. And Jessica kind of flips it because she's like, if you're not on the team, I'm quitting. It's like, oh, shut up,
Jessica. We know that, like, the next time anyone who is vaguely not perfect by your standards comes along, you'll be booting them around the place in your usual style. So they've got her present, though. And it's something special.
Oh, it is.
It's a Sweet Valley High cheerleader sweater.
Hey.
Which I would like. Even though they're bunch of bitches, I would like one.
Yeah, I think it would too.
Oh, God. This is as bad as us being amused by Bruce in his tiny shorts, even though we never see him.
So many complicated feelings.
So she changes into her cheerleading sweater, and then there's a surprise for her out in the lawn in front of the hospital. What is that surprise?
Ooh, why, it's the cheer squad doing get well, Annie. Like, yeah, it's like they do a cheer, but it's basically just them saying, get well, Annie. It's like... come on, come up with something.
Yeah, can't you for the whole day?
Yeah.
And then, that's it.
Yeah.
Jessica, like, no guilt, no...
Oh, no. Everything's fine.
No considering how her own actions may have upset somebody.
Yeah, maybe she should cut the fuck on in future and not be so judgmental and horrible.
Nope, there's nothing. She's just like, hey, we've got to decide who goes to New York.
Yeah, we're just moving on immediately.
And that is it. So the last paragraph is, so they're zooming off home in the Fiat Spider. I don't think that Jessica will ever think of Annie again. And... 2 weeks in New York City for one twin and 2 weeks showing off the fabulous, glamorous Suzanne Devlin of New York, Paris and London. Not the same.
Like, no.
Not the same at all. Both girls were filled with anticipation as they pulled into the driveway, jumped out of the car and raced towards the house. Can you read our tagline here?
Yeah. So both twins get more than they bargained for in Sweet Valley High number 11. Too good to be true.
Well, yeah. That is quite an accurate title.
Yeah.
So that was One Kind of Girl. There was a lot going on.
There really was. There was a lot to get through. I feel like I didn't get as enough Bring It On references in as I wanted to.
Well, there's time because we've got some stats, perhaps.
Oh, that's true, actually.
So see what you can do for that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, hang on.
Putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, no pressure. Okay, well, the Wakefield blondeness gets 3 mentions.
Thought it would get more.
The blue-green eyes also get 3.
Did that include the green lightning or whatever the hell it was?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then Annie is basically described as being some way beautiful or pretty or lovely or something like 12 times.
Whoa!
Yeah, like they're really that going for it. Yeah. She's pretty, okay, we get it.
And are there any outfits?
Not really. And I kind of thought there'd be more because they make such a big deal out of, you know, Annie and her supposed trampiness.
Yeah.
But... yeah, there's really just Jessica's outfit, the one with the shortest skirt at the beach disco.
That doesn't even have much detail for that.
Not really, just like a black and red top. Then Annie walks in. Oh yeah, when Annie walked in at that point, she was wearing a slinky outfit with a skirt that had a slit almost to the top of her thigh.
Mm.
Yeah.
By the way, just going to say that Suzanne Devlin in the next book wears very similar outfits and nobody says a word.
Not a big deal.
So,
for some weird reason.
Yeah. It was quite a wild ride. If you have any thoughts on it, more complicated feelings, do let us know. We do love hearing from readers, and
we
can email us at svhpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or tweet us
at svhpodcast on Twitter.
And we did get an amazing mail.
Oh my God.
from Jessie, and she was sharing the indescribable Korean Sweet Valley Twins covers. And please go to our Twitter feed.
Yeah, we might put up the link again, actually, because it's phenomenal.
They are incredible. And we also
it's incredible.
heard about the Argentinian covers.
Yes, the Spanish language ones. That was Gabby who sent us in a bunch of the covers. And yeah, it was an Argentinian version.
Yeah.
With the brown haired twins.
I know.
Oh, it's just such a game changer. I love this parallel universe.
And one of the best things was that the in the Spanish version, the title of Racing Hearts, which you might remember, was some controversy about it because in the book before it, it said next book is called Love on the Run. Yeah. Well, in Spanish, it was
Love on the Run.
Yeah, in Spanish, obviously. But, so yeah, we've had all sorts of cover revelations.
It's been very exciting.
I know. And if you have any international Sweet Valley covers you'd like to share with us, please do.
Please do. We love them.
Oh, we really, really love them. So, like we said, get in touch with us on Twitter or email. And we are proud members of the Headstuff podcast network. And you can follow the network on Twitter at HSPodNetwork. And you can follow us on at SVH Podcast. So we will see you in possibly less than 2 weeks.
That's right.
Because we're going to be back with a very special Christmas episode.
I'm so excited.
And will we say anything about it?
Maybe we'll leave it till next week, will we?
Yeah.
Just, but there's some clues on our Twitter, actually.
There are. So some of you have guessed already. Yeah. But if you haven't, you've got a treat in store.
It's going to be good.
It will. So we'll see you soon, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This is how it's always been. I'm on the outside looking in.
HPN, the Headstuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.
Being a parent can be really challenging.
Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.